All right, class. One of the assignments of this school, when God assigned me to open this school, I know one of the major assignments is to get you ready to walk in the supernatural in ministry. I wrote this down, supernatural functioning in ministry, so important. And I also wrote another note that the supernatural has been polluted by substitute. Therefore, familiar spirits have come among the ministerial ranks to rob us of the real power that we have the right to function in. So I want to show you a verse that I think is of utmost importance in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. I want to combine that with 1 Corinthians chapter 2, because when we're going to function in supernatural ministry, we have to know when the natural is moving. We have to know when there's a substitute, because Satan is not concerned about substitute if the supernatural is not really there. I mean, you can go through the former, you can go through different ideas, the class, but if the supernatural is not really functioning, it's only a game. So as student, we know, according to Philippians 1:19, we need a supply of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the various anointing, Acts 10:38, Luke 4:18, Jesus revealed the supernaturalness of his ministry was the supernatural Holy Spirit. We know about the gifts of the Spirit. We know about the fruit of the Spirit. I think the fruit should come first. Manifestation of the Holy Ghost. We know about praying in the Spirit. It has a great part to play, because in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it says, when a man speaks in an unknown tongue, he speaketh not unto men, but unto God, but how be in the Spirit, he speaketh mystery. And to function supernaturally, you're going to have to know kingdom mystery, according to Matthew 13, when Jesus tried to teach us about kingdom mysteries of abundance. Also, class, in Jude, many years I've used the functioning of praying in the Holy Ghost, building yourself up in your most holy faith. That's important. You can't, if you're going to function supernaturally in ministry, Romans 8, 26 and 28 must stay at your fingertip. In other words, that's praying in the Spirit again. It's so important. So that's three times I've talked about the validity of praying in the Spirit, boosting or subpoenaing the supernatural. It's not by feeling, it's not by your mindset, it's not by psychology, it's not by science of the mind, it's not by history. It's present moment power at any given time. Present, write that down. Present, the supernatural is present moment power that is available at any given time to change a situation beyond the known. I think that's, as it came over my spirit, that's definition we should hold on to, recognizing that it's not by might nor by power, but it's by his Spirit. So this precious verse here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles, they're all plural, and gifts of the Holy Ghost. Now notice it at the end now, according to his own will, we have to submit to the Spirit. That verse, God also bearing them witness. You need a witness in what we do of functioning in another realm, because the false competitions can look similar. It's sort of like when Moses threw his rod down, the man threw his rod down, but Moses' rod at the man rod up. And when Philip went to Samaria in the 8th chapter of Acts, you know, they had a lot of stuff going on. But when the real deal show up, the falsehood is exposed and God's people get delivered. Again, I want to thank massively tonight. We're in the deliverance business, and and the only way that's going to happen, it can't happen by letter. It got to happen by the supernatural. So I want you to expect an impartation of a anointing that will rise you into a different dimension of the supernatural. That's my aim in these classes. And then the question is asked, are you ready to walk in the supernatural? Are you ready to walk in the supernatural? So look, notice this verse again before we go look at some other verses that I think we need to go over and over again. Because the supernatural has been smothered. The supernatural has been substituted. So the substance and the evidence of the Spirit will have to come back in ministry, especially in times like these when all this stuff going on, these various attacks coming on the world system. We have to have a supernatural answer without fear. So he says, God also bear them witness both, number one, with signs. Notice that plural. And wonders. Notice wonders is plural. And divers miracles. Notice miracles is plural. And gifts. Notice gifts now. Gifts of the Holy Ghost. Notice it's plural. According to his own will. Now I'm trying to get to some of my other notes, but I want you to see the beginning of this verse and the ending of this verse have to come in agreement. God also bearing them witness. All right, put yourself in a position that God can bear witness to you, but also know that the supernatural is according to his own will. You can't fake the supernatural. You can't make the supernatural. The supernatural come. And I think the Apostle Paul gives us an answer before I start threading on these scriptures again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I think that's a powerful, rendering of a supernatural lifestyle. Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, very important class, because if you're going to go into supernatural, you have to be able to discern between natural acting as well as satanic similarity. You have to be able to tell a difference. I think 1 Corinthians cut out a grade 2 here. Paul, the apostle, showing his functioning in the supernatural is not by his own ability. He's revealing to us that the supernatural has to depend on the Holy Spirit. It's not by might, nor by power, but by Spirit. So Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, and I need to take time with this 1 Corinthians 2, because I want the supernatural foundation has to be laid properly. So I know you know some of these things, but yet in the school we have to lay it out layer by layer. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So speech-wise and natural wisdom are not the functioning of the supernatural. Eloquence does not mean something supernatural is going to happen. I'm not against people speaking right, but by the same token, that will not validate the supernatural if you don't know how to submit, if you don't know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Now, Paul goes into this second verse. He told us in the first verse, 1 Corinthians 2, about getting ready to walk in the supernatural, or how you walk in the supernatural. He tells us, and I, brother, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. So the testimony of God is a supernatural testimony. It's of the Spirit, and you have to be in the Spirit to tell it right. Now, notice Paul jumped right into another grave aspect of functioning in the supernatural. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That Paul bring the cross in the midst of sharing the difference of being in a natural ministry and a supernatural ministry. He says that the cross is so important because the cross activate the works of the Spirit at another dimension. And then Paul, the third verse, he revealed another aspect of the supernatural in which smart people never get to. He says in the third verse, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." You see, there's an element of reverential fear must always be on someone who's going to operate in the supernatural. The Apostle Paul here is laying out the functioning of the supernatural. He'll get further down in the verses and say the natural man cannot function here. So he says, I was with you in weakness and fear, three things, much trembling. He goes back again to talk about it's not in eloquence, it's in obedience. He said in the fourth verse, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom." Now here he hit us in verse 4. Here's where the supernatural step in at. "But in demonstration," now notice what he said, "of the Spirit and power." You remember in Acts 10:38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. See, in the supernatural, there's a divine power that produces things that are not normally functionable. And I think this chapter of 1 Corinthians 2 is a chapter to prepare you to walk in the revelation. I think it was Hebrews 4 and 5 we read, the revelation of the supernatural. He says, "And my speech," verse 4 now, you got to get this glad, and you need to meditate these verses. "And my speech and my preaching," speech and preaching, "was not with," now notice, "enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, I think that is a definition of the supernatural. Demonstration of the Spirit and power is a definition or indication or a revelation of a manifestation of the supernatural. But the supernatural will demonstrate Jesus throughout his ministry with the five loaves and two fishes, the water turning into wine. It's out of the ordinary, out of the ordinary. So it's really, the supernatural is really something you can't plan. Write it down. It's something that you can't plan how it's going to come out. There's a great word, two great words I want to share now over my personal ministry, is spending a lot of time in his presence, yielding, and knowing how to flow in unknown territory. Get that, class? Knowing how to flow in places where you don't have the answer. You're trusting, you're relying on him, however way he won't bring it out. So there's an awkwardness in operating in the supernatural. There's an awkwardness. And when I say awkwardness, that the senses and the natural and the norm and even the people around you, they can't handle it sometimes. But you have to know that you're functioning in another realm. This is one of my favorite verses over the years. "And my speech and my preaching would not be enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, I thought, you know, I got my notes here, but I have to walk through this because the Holy Spirit reminded me this morning this is a supernatural insight of the supernatural in this chapter that the Apostle Paul has given us. He said in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, here he is again, but in the power of God. Now, in the power of God is another definition for the supernatural. And one is operating, yielding, flowing, functioning beyond the natural, beyond the known. But out there by faith, trusting the Holy Ghost to bring things out like God wanted, that's when you're functioning in the supernatural, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Now notice that comparison with the wisdom of men. And now we've got a comparison here with the wisdom of men and the wisdom of God. The wisdom of men is so organized. Excuse me, Greg. They're so organized that they make you think that they're actually the power of God. But you have to know the difference, that your faith can stand in the power of God. Now, notice verse 6. And I'm just going down the chapter now. I haven't gotten to my notes yet. Notice verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, complete, matured. He said, but yet not the wisdom of this world. See, it keep pounding all the princes of this world that come and know. The supernatural of God is not a worthy level of functioning. I notice this now. The Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, in teaching us how to function in the supernatural, keep comparing worldly wisdom, worldly speech, worldly power, to make sure we know there are substitutes out there that will block you by deception to keep you from working in the real supernatural. Because when the real supernatural comes, the kingdom of light take over and the kingdom of darkness will fail. So the enemy, when he messed with Eve, he tried to give Eve the same spirit that he had, wanting to know more than God. The supernatural is yielding to God, trusting God, relying on God, depending on God. That's the supernatural. God can handle this. I'm going to yield to him. But it never trusted in your own ability. So Paul just dig in the supernatural here in 1 Corinthians 2. We're digging, class, into supernatural principles, supernatural power that we come to some degree can personalize our ministries in the supernatural. In other words, we make ourselves so available by these supernatural instruction by the Apostle Paul. He goes on, I'll repeat myself, in verse 6, he said, howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now, that's another aspect of the supernatural. You have to be willing to trust God. And the supernatural have elements of mystery. Just like when Jesus was teaching about the kingdom of God, he talks about, let me bring this in. To function in the supernatural, there's a certain type of seeing, a certain type of hearing, and a certain type of understanding. It's a faith beyond measurement. It's a trust. It's a reliance. It's a dependency. But those of us in ministry who are going to function in the supernatural, we must see in another dimension. We must hear in another dimension. We must understand in another dimension. We must trust in another dimension. Because you got to get to the point that you don't know how you're going to come out, but you're going to come out victorious because of yielding to the Lord thy God. So Paul, let me read to you again. Paul, again, I read the sixth verse. How be we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Now notice what he said next, verse 7. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So the Holy Spirit inspired me this morning, or this afternoon, or whatever time it is. The Holy Spirit inspired me to ponder this chapter. Now, I always loved this chapter. Notice the ninth verse. This is supernatural talking. But that is written, eyes have not seen. I just start talking about eyes and ears. No ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. That are three right there. That are three. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. That are three. The eyes, ears, verse 9, and the heart. That's the same three that Jesus taught about the kingdom in Matthew 13. And yet Paul is talking about the kingdom is a, you know, the kingdom is a supernatural kingdom. And those three aspects are dimensional. Don't forget that word, dimensional. Dimensional, not natural, supernatural. Dimensional is very important. Matter of fact, let me say it while it's on my mind. Dimensional is so important in seeing, hearing, and understanding, because the supernatural has to do with our dominion on earth for Christ and for the kingdom and for to get people delivered and for to get people set free and to release evidence that can't be denied. That's what the supernatural is. The supernatural is evidence happening, miracles, signs, and wonders that can't be denied, that there's a higher power functioning through an earthly instrument. Put that down, get that down some kind of way, because if you reread that and revisit that, I think that the Holy Spirit can put some things in your life and in your ministry. Then he goes to tell us in verse 10. Verse 10 is pivotal for the supernatural. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yeah, the deep things of God, one of my favorite verse. Now he goes shift to verse 11, and we're talking about the supernatural now, class. And I said that this is a supernatural chapter to teach you how to walk in the supernatural, how to function in the supernatural, how to yield to the supernatural, how to have faith for the supernatural, because natural ministry is not going to make it. Routine wisdom, routine principles, secular principles coming into the church, the word secular and the word supernatural must be put on a scale. And it's just no comparison. So the supernatural is a revelatory realm. It's a realm that is revealed as you go. It's a realm that you have to have enough faith when you're prompted by the Holy Spirit to do something out of the ordinary, to do it because you're led by the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit, you're led by the Spirit, and then leave it up to the Holy Ghost to bring the manifestation, the demonstration, the creation, the birthing, whatever needs to take place, or a blessing, whatever needs to take place. But it's based on spending time with God. You have to be sort of out of it, class. You got to be out of it to get into it. You got to be out of you, out of normal pattern, expecting that rim, would, it's important, that rim to step in. Along with that rim comes a rhythm. Along with that comes a rhema word, a word that is alive with miracles, with signs, with wonders, and it just comes through your mouth and it breaks the supernatural out. I'm trying to explain some of the things that have happened to me over the years. It just breaks the supernatural out. When Jesus talked about in John 7, 37 through 39, about the rivers of waters, in Acts 2, 1 through 4 and 5, when with the first day of Pentecost, when the fire, the wind, a mighty rushing wind, the fire, they saw that as of tongues of fire. Those are supernatural moments that's supposed to go on in ministry over and over and over again. Because the supernatural never runs out. I mean, God never runs out. I want to pull off and get on my nose, but this chapter is so strong. Verse 11 says, what man knows the things of a man, said the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. So the supernatural is functioning by the spirit of God, and that's the only way it can function. He said in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. See that you keep, but the spirit which is of God, the spirit of the world, the spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us God. See, so let's pinpoint here, without being elementary, that the supernatural function in the spirit world. It's a spirit world. It's not natural. It's not normal. It's not. It's functioning in the spirit world. It's a supernatural. When you hear the word supernatural, the next word first word you got to hear is spirit. Talking about the Holy Spirit. Then you hear the word supernatural. You cannot talk about the supernatural without functioning in the spirit, because you actually cutting out the ordinary. You're cutting out the normal pattern. You're cutting out that this person's supposed to die, but the supernatural step in with resurrection power and the person live. It's happening all over the world. And so ministry is improperly functioning unless it's functioning in the supernatural. To function in the supernatural, like a repeat I say, but you have to be yielded to the Spirit. You have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to be led by the Spirit. You have to be listening to the Spirit. And then that out of the ordinary thing is told you to do, and you really got to be trusting in God, trusting God. So notice the 14th verse, class, of 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man, see, you know, the natural man, supernatural. See, you can't function in the supernatural as a natural man. There's no such thing as normality or normal in the supernatural. This verse really reveals also to us, verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. See, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritually discerned. There's another term that is used to, I'm going to use this word, provoke the supernatural. You got to be spiritually discerning. I love this chapter. But the natural man received not the thing of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And then he said, but he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judge of no man. And then verse 16, glad, and then we'll go into Acts 2. For who have known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So the mind of Christ, the mind of the Spirit, and that's why I told you about Romans 8, 26 through 28, because it talks about the mind of the Spirit. It talks about the will of God. It talks about the love of God. And here we talk about the mind of Christ. In Philippians, it talks about the mind of Christ. You have to be out of your mind. Out of your natural mind for the supernatural to work. You have to be in a trusting position. So the question is, we want to make sure you have supernatural functioning in your ministry. Again, I'm repeating myself, but it's important. The supernatural has been polluted by a substitute. I gave you Moses rod and the magician rod. I gave you in the book of Acts, the 8th chapter, in the whole city was hoodwinked until the real supernatural showed up. Let's turn back to Acts 2. Let's turn back to Acts 2 to see something here that I think is so important to validate the supernatural in your life and in your ministry. And they continued Acts 2:42. Because I want to equate to the early church. We got to get back to how the early church operated. Some kind of way they got off the apostolic foundation. A whole lot of denominational stuff was brought in. A whole lot of religion was brought in. Good people. I'm not talking about bad people. But being good people and the supernatural is two different things. And so as a student in this school, I want to make sure you know how to switch wisdom, switch understanding, switch your sight, and yield to the Holy Spirit in the supernatural realm. So it says, one of the things that had the early church functioning in the supernatural, in Acts 2:42, one statement there, contingent in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine was supernatural doctrine. They didn't know nothing else. And so he said in the 42nd verse, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread. And it's very important, the last part of that verse said, and in prayer. Now, the effect that prayer have on the supernatural cannot be measured, because prayer is spending time in God's presence, and God's presence is a supernatural presence. You cannot come in the presence of God without stepping into the supernatural, because he's a supernatural God. It says in the 43rd verse, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders, that is, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. You see, that fear, that reverential fear, came upon their thinking, came upon their imagination, came upon their emotion when it comes to their soul, and they were able to yield to the Spirit. And then also you got Acts 5:12. I give that to your class, Acts 5:12, signs done by the apostles' hand. And then you have Acts 6:8. I'm going over some things, but I sense a deeper dimension of the supernatural is about to come on the school and come on you as a student. So I want you to go over those verses. I want to go over some things that I think, like number one, one of the greatest dangers the Church of Jesus Christ faced today is not an outside force, but something that originates from within. It says one of the greatest dangers of the church is that of forgetting, get this class, or denying our rich spiritual heritage and the supernatural miracle working power of Almighty God that give birth to the church. I mean, that is so outstanding. I want to go over those two again and see what the Holy Spirit want to elaborate. One of the greatest dangers the Church of Jesus Christ faces today is not an outside force, but something that originates from within. Then it, the enemy, the thief, or the problem, they're not the issue. That's why we put you. That's why we call. That's why we anoint you. That's why God places in the fivefold ministry gift to bring another dimension, to bring another realm, to bring another answer. It doesn't matter about the outside force. When you learn how to operate in the supernatural, Satan does not matter. Demon power, principality, it doesn't matter. Because when one power that is greater than another power meet, the power that is greatest going to win. So the stagnation that we have seen in the body of Christ is a lack of the supernatural. Write that down. The stagnation that we have seen in ministries, instead of birthing, they're begging, because they have lined up with the world system. Now get world system, stagnation, supernatural. You see what I'm saying? So we have to graph these things, class. If we're going to be in power, we have to know that the system can't stop us, that the only thing can stop us is that we step in the stagnation of the norm and not function in the height of the supernatural. These two statements must be read. One of the greatest danger, and when we say of the church, we're talking about ministry, because ministry determines how the church functions at this time. In any given area. One of the greatest dangers the Church of Jesus Christ faces today is not an outside force. Not an outside force. That is so powerful. You see, we don't have to fight the devil, but something that originates from within. You see, now the supernatural is not an outside force. The supernatural is a force that comes, oh my goodness, it's a force that comes from the inside that can't be explained but take care of everything on the outside. When a person walk in a room housed in the supernatural and know it's there, anything good can happen at any given moment. And as ministers, when we walk in the pulpit or when we walk in a classroom or wherever we walk, at any given moment, that's the way the apostles, Peter and Paul, that's the way the Albert John, they knew that within, all right, now, thank you, Lord. The supernatural comes from within. Very, very simple statement. You say, well, I knew that. No, I want you to hear me. The supernatural comes from within. So don't worry. You don't have to worry about what's happening outside. See, the spirit, the indwelling spirit, is indwelling supernatural power. And then when we as ministers begin to function in it right, we bring it into the church, bring it into the body of Christ. Again, one of the greatest dangers of the church is that of forgetting, get this glad, or denying our rich spiritual heritage. The supernatural, functioning in the supernatural, is our rich spiritual heritage that has been murdered, but muddy because of joining in with a system that don't know the supernatural. So in this school, various instructors, various classes, our aim is to bring all ministers that go to the school back on the inside, back into the realm of the supernatural. And we'll get the danger of the church. The church is not protected. So again, I repeat myself, one of the greatest dangers of the church is that of forgetting or denying our rich spiritual heritage and the supernatural miracle-working power of Almighty God that give birth to the church. In other words, whatever give birth to the church, it's the same thing that going to have to bring the church through. So the church birth is supernatural. And then we as ministers come trying to run it from some other program, not going to work. Another power, not going to work. So what we're doing is calling you back to the supernatural, calling you back to your rightful place. And you find out the weaker you are, the stronger God can use you. Paul said, though I'm weak, but then I'm strong, you see. So God said, my grace is sufficient. Now here's another insight of the supernatural. Many of us skip over the things we don't understand or that make us uncomfortable. And therefore, we do not pursue God and his ways as we should. It's a powerful statement, see. See, you can't, in the supernatural, here, I know this for years and years, you can't be in a comfort zone. Now, there's a comfort zone, but it's not the normal comfort zone. The comfort zone is faith. The comfort zone is trusting God. The comfort zone is knowing that God always comes through. The comfort zone is the word, reading the word and seeing what Moses and Joshua and David faced and Goliath, Hebrew boy, the 500. See, those are not comfortable situations, but we see the result. It was recorded that we can see supernatural results. But then it is said here that you're not going to be able to operate in the supernatural if you don't understand this. Many of us skip over the things we don't understand. See, that's one of the things that birthed the supernatural. I don't understand. I have to yield. I have to trust the Holy Ghost. Or that make us uncomfortable. Don't understand, make you uncomfortable. You know, you want to understand everything you want. 1, 2, 3, 4. The whole supernatural don't work. ABC don't work like that. And therefore, we do not pursue God and his ways as we should. So in order to stay in the comfort zone, the enemy want us to stay in the comfort zone. And he want us to believe that we got to understand everything. That's not the supernatural. Supernatural is trusting, relying, depending upon the direction of the Holy Spirit. That's a pretty good definition. We mumbled about Acts 2:42 and 43 Acts 5:12, Acts 6:8, because we're not seeing the same things in our own churches. And so people think that the power or the time gone for it, but it comes back to the pulpit. In order for a congregation all over the world to walk in the supernatural, the ministers are going to walk in the supernatural. This is a ministry school, and this we're preparing you because you're going to have to be the one who ignite the fire. You got to be the one willing to walk in a zone that is uncomfortable and understand and lack of understanding about it, but yet trust in God. And so here's another reason we're not walking in the supernatural. We make excuses for the absence of the miraculous. We make excuses, you know. No, the miraculous is still there. The miracles, the signs, the wonders are still there. But because it's not happening, you know, they say the apostles not for the day. These signs or these wonders are not for the day. It was just for the Bible time. No, they're for the day. If you stop making excuses and stop looking for a comfort zone and stop panicking when you don't understand how it's going to come out, if you can come to that point, you're going to start seeing the miraculous. Let me go back to that verse. I don't quite know where I gave it to you earlier. I'm going to search for it. I got it. Hebrews 2:4. That's the verse we started with. God also bearing them witness. You see, that's another, I want to look at it again now. Miracles, signs, and wonders is God bearing witness that he sent you. That there can be no lack of expectation when there is a supernatural visitation. Many were saved in the early church. Let's go back to Jesus' ministry. Jesus' ministry attracting factors was the supernatural. That's why multitudes follow him. Now, what have happened because of being off track so long, multitude now are following modernism in the church. The miraculous is not happening, but because of the substitute, they think crowd now is the answer, but it's not the answer. When the miraculous, as we usher the miraculous back in, the multitude's going to flock and hear the word of the Lord. So that God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with divers, miracles, and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Powerful, pregnated verse. That verse is pregnant with truth we need to know now. So we can stop making these excuses. Now, class, and this may not, some people say, no. Some people find it hard to believe that God will work miracles for them and through them. Work miracles for them and through them. Now, if you expect the supernatural to manifest in your ministry, it has to manifest in your family. It has to manifest in your personal life. You got to expect the supernatural in your personal life. When you come out here talking about the supernatural, you got to have some, over a protracted period of time, some supernatural manifestation. You got to have some things. Here we go, class. You have to have some things in your life and ministry that you can't explain. See. Because one element or one height of the supernatural is unexplainable. Yeah, I mean, it's off the normal pattern so far that a person say, what happened there? What happened there? And they'll know it's an ability, a power, more supreme than the normal. I love it, Lord. So some people find, and I want your class, some people find it hard to believe that God will work miracles for them and through them. You got to believe that God is going to begin to work miracles for you and through you. I really believe before God can work miracles through you, you got to come in a position that God will make work miracles for you. Personally, in your affairs of life, things you're dealing with, you have to believe that I need a miracle. And once you start seeing the miracles in your personal life, I've seen many. I've been in many holes I couldn't get out. I've been in many places that what am I do here, Lord? I've stepped in pulpits that I couldn't handle. But he worked miracles. I mean, all of a sudden I'm preaching and the power of God hit the place. The wind started blowing. I remember one meeting, the wind started blowing. The police came out with their hand on their gun. They thought somebody had broke in the meeting, but it was the Holy Ghost blowing mightily in a meeting of about 15, 20,000 people. You know, I've seen that happen. I've seen happen another meeting in California, preaching on the excellence of spirit. That Daniel said Daniel had an excellent spirit. I've seen man, look, a whirlwind came in that room and manifestations started taking place, and people who was dignified lost it. They say, I made them lost it. I didn't do you nothing. I'm just preaching, you know. So it's so powerful. So first of all, class, if we are going to be supernatural ministers and operate and function in a supernatural ministry, we have to realize that the supernatural power of God belongs to us personally. And we have to invoke it. We should have some miraculous testimonies to give. Hey, Claire, this is what God done for me, and this is what God. All right. These attitude and perspective are weighing us down and preventing us from stepping out into the new things of God. All right. So what an attitude and perspective of constantly operating in the known, we're being weighed down and prevented. You know, the Bible says, lay aside every weight and the sin that's so easy to beset you. I think that the church have come so far from the supernatural that it's sinful. We've become so normal. We've become so natural. We've become with our programs and our, and we can't do this from this school. You can't leave this school. And if God put you over a church or send you out on the battlefield, you got to be following the supernatural. So these attitude and perspective are weighing us down. Number one. Number two, preventing us from stepping into the new things of God. And that's what the supernatural will constantly take us into the new things of God. Constantly. Now Isaiah 55:8, put this in your note. Romans 12:2, let me see. Isaiah 55:8. We're going to go to another aspect and look at something here that is important. I'm trying to do everything everybody else is doing. Now I've got this doggone iPad up here. Isaiah 55:8. Oh, it's powerful. For my thoughts are not your thought. Salah. Pause. Because we have to think supernatural. Good God Almighty. We have to have supernatural thoughts flowing through us all the time. Neither are your ways my ways, said the Lord. That's Isaiah 55:8. You know, Romans 12:2 tells us be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So to walk in the supernatural, our minds must be transformed by the thoughts and ways of God. I love it. To walk in the supernatural, our minds must be transformed by the thought and ways of God. Now, listen to this very carefully, because it's very dangerous. You cannot work in the supernatural through your mind. The supernatural is not a mind thing, not your mind. See, matter of fact, your mind is an enemy to the supernatural, because your mind actually want to control your life. That's why psychology, science of the mind, positive thinking, self-help, all those things have a dimension, but they stop when we get to this dimension. They cannot, those things cannot go into supernatural. So you see what happened? People are getting results from these things from on a natural plateau. And so they think they're so great, but your mind cannot be carried in the supernatural. Your thinking has to be, you have to be raped of your thinking. I can't find another word. You have to be raped of your own natural thinking, and you have to be robed with the thinking of God. Rape, robe. You have to put on the mind of God, and then you can function in the ways of God. All right? So to walk in the supernatural, our minds must be transformed by the thoughts and ways of God. Hallelujah, that's powerful. Here we hit something in the eye here. Empty religion, tradition, empty. Man-made doctrine, number two class, empty religion, tradition, get that down. Because if I was actually on a test, what are some of the things that can stop the supernatural? Empty religious tradition, man-made doctrine, and method of worship that are void of God's anointing must go. Wow, man, I almost took off and run. That's powerful, man. Empty religious tradition. I got a lot of it. And so now we can see from this statement, I'm going to say it again, great blockers of the supernatural or false substitute for the supernatural. Can you see that? False evil, blockers. Empty religious tradition, man-made doctrine, and man-made method of worship. Notice what he said then, that a void of God's anointing must go. So, don't hang around people who are stuck in the natural, thinking to a certain degree that they're operating in the supernatural. Listen to this. The new things of God will not fit in our old mindsets. Record that, class. The new things of God God functioning is new every day. I mean, you can't put God in a box and operate in the supernatural. Now, so here's a grand word I'm going to speak to you now that I think is a great word. Expectation is a supernatural word. It expect God to move in his dimension all the time. Have that expectation. All right, I got a few more minutes, class. I'm going to go. It's been an hour. The new things of God will not fit into old mindsets. Watch this now. Watch this, class. Where we limit God according to how, when, what, and where we think he should work. Ooh, my goodness. That is powerful. The new things of God will not fit into our old mindsets where we limit God according to how, number one, when, number two, what, number three, and where, number four, we think he should work. So I didn't know it, but that word I gave just a few moments ago, expectation. I'm going to add on to it. Always expect beyond the known. That's supernatural expectation. Always expect lodges to come out of the grave. Always expect the water to turn into wine. Always expect the fish to multiply. Always expect the woman who had the issue of blood to be healed. See, that's Jesus' ministry. There's a certain aspect, class, in my clothing. I'll give you this. There's a certain aspect. I'm going to give you two things that I've used in my life. One of the things, I am that I am. That's powerful. That's your prerogative to use that same. And then the other one is in him, I live, I move, and I have my being. Because being, your being will determine your blessing. The supernatural is blocked because of the natural and because of the person not operating in their being. Your being is spiritual. Your being is not physical. Your being is not natural. Operate your being, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's in a new realm, in a new territory. So we must abide with that. Let me see, can I read one more? We must get rid of every preconceived idea, as well as doubt and unbelief concerning the supernatural power of God, and allow the Holy Spirit to renew our mind to the truth revealed in God's word. Psalm 78:41 reveals that we serve an unlimited, listen to this, we serve an unlimited supernatural God. We serve, say it, class, we serve an unlimited supernatural, let that sink down. We serve an unlimited supernatural God. I feel the power coming on. We serve an unlimited, that word just unlimited. We serve an unlimited supernatural God. How can we be defeated? How can we be stopped at a certain level? How can any satanic forces can bluff us when we serve an unlimited supernatural God? I think that need to be rehearsed and rehearsed. I serve an unlimited supernatural God. I serve an unlimited supernatural God. You let that drop further down in your spirit. I serve an unlimited supernatural God. Take that, class. Go with it. Take that thought. But the thing I've taught you this today, tonight, I serve an unlimited supernatural God. That's a wrap.